Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joe Ostrowski with you till 10, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Julie DeCaro steps in from 10 p.m. till midnight, keeping you company on a Friday evening in the beautiful city of Chicago. My next show will be early odds tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m., then Monday evening after Bears All Access. I'll be here from 7 to 10, probably do a lot more football like you heard in that the last segment there with Evan Silva. Got some response from the 801 area code. If the Bears have Davis and Cohen, why would they waste another pick on a running back? Because they need another running back. Cohen isn't going to line up in the backfield. You saw him play some receiver. I wonder if we're going to see more of that this season. But they removed Jordan Howard because they want to upgrade from Jordan Howard. They still need to add another back. There's no question. They're going to take one rounds three, four, maybe five. The very latest, but probably rounds three or four. The White Sox just wrapped up their game against the Tigers. They end their skid and they take down Detroit by a score of 7-3 on the road in Detroit. And so the White Sox on the season are what? Are they 7-11 or 8-11?
8-11.
That's 8-11 now? Okay, almost 500 on the road, I believe.
They are.
All right,
exactly.
There you go. Carlos Rodon on the bump. A quality start. Six innings, one run on three hits, six strikeouts, and three walks. He went 95 pitches deep in those six innings of work. And in the last frame, Herb Lawrence screaming again, trade Eloy Jimenez because he dropped a routine fly ball. It was on the track. I mean, I guess it was a routine fly ball.
It was pretty routine.
He dropped the baseball.
It was pretty routine.
Okay, fine. It scores 7-3 or whatever.
But the context of this is for Mookie Betts, not just, hey, trade Eloy Jimenez.
How deep does that list go? Two players or more?
Just two.
That's it?
That's it.
Frankie Lindor, no
nope.
Thanks?
Nope.
Really?
No thanks. They got to be either Trout or Betts for me to trade him.
Chris Bryant.
No, I'm good.
3 years of Bryant.
No, I'm good.
More than Betts.
Betts is second best player in the league.
Bryce Harper.
No, I'm good.
You got that contract.
Real good.
Nolan Arenado.
Real good.
Really?
I mean, he's a third baseman. He's going to have back problems or something wrong with him eventually. That long contract is not going to be good for him.
And you remove him from Coors Field, too.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, we were laughing last week because Herb Lawrence and Chris Tannehill made the trip to New York to visit Brendan McCaffrey's former sports director here at 670 The Score to check in with their buddy. And they went to the White Sox-Yankees game on Saturday. Friday was the Eloy game when he went yard twice. So they missed that game. And it actually spurred a topic, Herb. Very good job. You're producing when you weren't here about the big games that you just missed. That maybe you gave up tickets or you just decided not to go last second. We're hearing from all sorts of people, like the Kerry Wood 20 strikeout game, the blackout game. People, for various reasons, they couldn't attend the games. And they're still upset about. Studs is still mad about some game he was at, but there was a penalty. Devin Hester would have broken the record, but he broke the record with the Falcons. He's still carrying around all that hate about that one. Let's hear your review, your thoughts on Yankee Stadium, because you travel around the league every single year, and you add at least one new stadium every year. And I was looking at your list and your rankings, and I'm quite jealous, because I started going over stadiums that I've been to. I'm only at seven, and I've been stuck on seven for way too long. That's got to change this summer. But give me your review for Yankee.
I think it's just an average ballpark. It's the one thing it has over every other ballpark is how many retired numbers it has in Monument Park.
Deal.
And all the stars that you recognize immediately when you go down there. Of course, Ruth, Gehrig, all the people, the newer guys.
History.
Jeter, Posada, Bernie Williams, things like that.
Okay.
Weirdly enough, they have a Nelson Mandela plaque up there, too. Didn't play one time. In Monument Park. Yeah, Nelson Mandela's up
where
there.
Where is this?
In Monument Park in center field at Yankee Stadium. You got to arrive. Like, we got there right when gates open, and that's Monument Park is open from then until like 45 minutes before first pitch. Like, if you don't arrive right before, right when it opens, you're going to be swamped with a bunch of other people there and in a long line. We were luckily got in real quick, got out real quick before the big start, the big line started. But it was good to see. It was what Yankee Stadium history and lore is about, because this stadium apparently is the exact replica of the old stadium. It just with some newer amenities. So,
oh, just like Soldier Field.
Yeah. But, you know, this the Yankee fans I talked to said the old stadium was a dump, and this is a much better improvement of what that was. And they didn't really take away and do that new cookie cutter ballpark or that, you know, that HOK stuff that's in Baltimore or the other places in Texas. So they kept with the Yankee Stadium lore and how it looked before and just added some new amenities.
How bad were the prices on everything?
Oh, my goodness. They're like $14 for a draft beer. It was
16-ounce or something?
It was a 22-ounce, so at least that was a
14.
Little bit.
14. Domestic? Yeah.
This was a domestic beer. It was their stadium beer. I think it was called like the Bronx something. I forgot what it was called. It was their beer.
Whoa.
So it tasted all right, but it wasn't $14 good after.
Well, what would that be here? Probably like
a $10, $12
yeah,
beer.
10.
Like
yeah,
the most at U.S. Cellular or guaranteed rate is probably Revolution beer. That's
right.
Probably like $12
in the Crave area.
Yeah, but
would you go back for Yankee Stadium?
Not necessarily. It's fine. It's just,
if you happen to be in New York,
feral, it's antiseptic.
You'd go to a game.
It's fine. It doesn't work. I mean, it doesn't really pull out anything that you're like, oh, man, Derek Jeter used to play here. It's cool, but I don't feel any type of lore. I don't feel history when I walk in there. It's a nice ballpark. We just pretty much stayed in center field and then walked around the concourse. And they have beautiful, you know, Yankees history museum. They have a Yankee store you can buy things. I bought this White Sox hat actually at the Yankee store. This is the only type they had, the 83 type,
mm-hmm.
which is red, white, and blue. With
did
the
you
SLX.
Wear your purple Sox hat there?
I did not. Brendan was very happy that I wore my blue Sox hat. It was there. But I was tempted to wear my big, huge White Sox jersey I wore to Detroit with the two guys, but it's way too big on me now. I must have lost a couple pounds.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah,
did weird. You wear it or no?
No, I just wore a regular T-shirt my man Grid gave me. Gridiron Assassin gave a shirt that said...
Oh, I did like... I like that. I saw that.
Bridgeport Lumber Company. It's nice. So if you guys want that shirt, type up Gridiron Assassin on Twitter or IG, and he'll tell you how to get that. But it was nice. And the ballpark is well kept. It's in a horrible neighborhood.
Horrible.
Yeah, the people around me is like, this place is a dump around here, so don't go, you know, traveling too far. Because I was like, man, a apartment across the street from Yankee Stadium, like, nah, you don't want that. Those are dumps. You don't want to be around this neighborhood. Get out as soon as you can. And it takes a long time to get there via train, because the Bronx is like way up there. It's uptown. So we're in New Jersey, where Brendan lives, and we got to take the PATH train into Midtown and then take another train into the Bronx. It was a lot of transferring, a lot of nonsense to get up there. And if you were just to drive up there, it didn't seem like they had a lot of parking around there. Maybe some, but it was probably exorbitant prices, just like Wrigley Field would be. It's pretty much just dropped in a neighborhood. There's a lot of things around there.
Mm.
There's not a lot of, like, it's not like Kansas City where it's ballpark only. Like, it's the football stadium, the baseball stadium, and parking lot is aplenty. This is just ballpark and then the rest of the neighborhoods around there.
Okay, so for your rankings, do you keep it strictly to the ballpark or do you include the neighborhood and all that stuff?
And bars in the area? No, I usually keep it to how I felt in that ballpark that time.
There are 3 hours.
Yeah, and how I felt afterwards, the lore, I take into account what happened at that ballpark before and how they've renovated. Like Wrigley, I used to hate because it was trash. It's a little bit better. The only thing I hate about Wrigley now is the obstructed views still. So
okay.
Yankee is right behind Wrigley Field. I'm Jeff Gordon now.
What the hell?
Yankee Stadium is behind Wrigley Field. That's what I meant to say. Wrigley Field I have on 7th in my top 15.
Well, I was just going to go over that. You made a top 15 ranking of all the stadiums that you've attended. I always like to hear suggestions of ballparks that I need to go to. So if anybody has any, maybe Herb hasn't been there. Text line 67011, tweets at Joe 0670, and the phone line's open 312-644-6767. So you put Yankee Stadium number 8 behind Wrigley, and your top 6, PNC, the Pirates. Number 2, Petco. You lived in San Diego for a period of time. 3, Kauffman Stadium. That's surprising.
Excellent.
4, Miller Park. 5, Citi Field. 6, Coors. So I've been to less than half the ballparks that you have, which disappoints me. I need to get to more. I would have the same number one, even though I have a much shorter list, with PNC number one. I've also been to the one that you have dead last at 15, the Great American Ballpark. It's been so long since I've been there, but I also lived in Cincinnati for a short period of time, so I was there a few times. I didn't like it, but I didn't think this is the worst in baseball. Why do you?
Well, we went and it was really hot that day. It's not Cincinnati's fault for being hot that day.
That's fair though, because when I went to Nationals Park, like that stuck with me. It was a 100-degree day.
Yeah, and so you know had our seats up in probably the right field line. We didn't really sit there. We usually go around and walk around the ballpark to get a feel of the full ballpark, and so we settled in there like right field concourse area where a lot of people are congregating. You can still see the game, but it was really hot. So I was like, all right, these drinks are not doing it for me. I need to get some like ice cream or something cool to drink to settle me down. And so I go to the ice cream line, hot day. So, you know, you think that they would be ready for this. No, I spent 45 minutes in the ice cream line. I'm not kidding you. 45 minutes in the ice cream line, just ice cream, just straight
45.
Soft serve ice cream, 45 minutes to get a cone of ice cream. And Brendan, I'm like, what took you so long? And I had the ice cream cone like dripping down my hand.
But didn't you realize when you were in the line, like this is going to take forever?
I was like, this is a decent line, but I don't think it'll last 45 minutes. It was like 3 innings. It was ridiculous.
All right. There's one that you have at 9 that I hear rave reviews about. You put Safeco at 9. Why?
It was fine. There's really nothing about that
so
ballpark.
Annoyed.
It's kind of depressing. It's dark. They had the roof over up that day. It was probably late September.
You hit Target 13. You know, I don't hate that ranking. I haven't been in all these places, but I don't hate it because I think that place is so overrated. It's like, it was fine. It was nice. But I don't get the big deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's in downtown. That's the best thing I can say about Target.
Yeah.
It's downtown.
They built up Minneapolis downtown, for
sure. You can walk off the street, enter in right and right field. That's cool at ground level.
Yes, yes.
The ballpark's kind of sunk down in that regard. They told me to try this walleye on a stick. I tried it. It was garbage.
Who told you that?
Everybody and their mama. It wasn't that great.
You put Progressive near the bottom, too.
Oh, have you ever been?
No, but
it is just straight trash.
I mean,
and Cleveland's
the big,
trash
when
too.
You came, yes, I understand.
I mean, we got something for that later on too.
When you came back,
mm-hmm.
Just your complaints were weird, though.
Oh yeah.
So
I don't know if that factored in, but yeah, my whole Cleveland experience was not good.
Well, first off, there was the mustard, was it?
Yeah, like. You go to these ballparks and you want to ask the locals, hey, what is Cleveland? What is Progressive known for? You know, you go to U.S. Cellular Guaranteed Rate, they'll say, get the churros, get the elote, get the Italian sausage, get something like that.
The grilled onions and the Polish. Yeah,
exactly. Get some Irish nachos, something like that. They're like, yeah, you got to try the stadium mustard. A condiment? And it was just regular Dusseldorf mustard. That's all it was Dusseldorf mustard. And they were like bragging on it like it was the stuff. Like I had never tasted mustard.
Like they don't have brown mustard in stores?
Yeah.
No, but the worst part of your review, and you were dead serious and you're still mad about this, it was opening day in Cleveland and you were upset because after the game, there wasn't traffic.
None at all. 40,000 people in that stadium.
Who gets mad that there's no traffic?
We got out really quickly. It was like no real city has no traffic after a baseball or football game.
You wanted traffic.
Yes.
That is so stupid.
And also, when we were driving in on drive time radios, like so the equivalent of us, I don't know what the station was.
92.3 The Fan?
Yeah, we were listening, and they had like the Cleveland Gladiators in drive time, like 5 o'clock.
Like a guest or a game?
A guest. Like a guest in studio talking about the Cleveland Gladiators Arena League football game.
Herb.
Remember some of those shows that you produced?
Remember some of those shows you produced?
What do you mean?
Stop. I interned for you. You forget? What, you put it 4 or 5 o'clock? Wasn't your choice.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about like
whatever.
Adopt a pet and such? That was good.
That was not an afternoon drive. The last lap was earlier.
1, 2, 3?
Oh, hey. There's an engineer in the hallway. You think you can talk NASCAR? Let's bring him in.
Coast to coast?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. What was an afternoon? You didn't do 1, 2, 3. That was earlier. That was the Noon to 4 show, I think. I don't remember. It's all blur. I've been here way too long.
But Cleveland, yeah, it was trash. But the ballpark is even more trash. It's just nothing special about the ballpark. The views are all right. The seating arrangement was good. The fan base at that year was not good. They were on pins and needles waiting for Lonnie Chisenhall.
Ugh.
They're like, oh, we're going to be bad this year.
This was part of your experience?
Yeah, this is like...
Because they were talking about Lonnie Chisenhall?
That too. I mean, just the fan experience, how the fans react to the teams going on.
But you love Kauffman Stadium.
Oh, man. Great people down there.
Really?
Yeah. The sight lines are great. There's probably not a bad seat in the stadium.
You can give me 20 guesses. I would have never put Kauffman in your top three.
The Royals Hall of Fame, which is in, you see, it's right past the bullpen if you hit a home run to left field. Top notch. It's right in the ballpark. That's the only saving grace of Great American Ballpark because they have the Reds Hall of Fame, but that's off of the stadium. And you got to pay more money. But the Royals Hall of Fame is great. The water spectacular in left and right and then center field, top notch.
Okay.
Scoreboard is great. It's in HD. There's nothing
HD.
Wrong.
HD?
Yeah.
It's 2019.
And also,
why would it not be in HD?
Well, at the time, U.S. Cellular wasn't in HD. They just got that new one a couple years ago. And also, where the ballpark's located, plenty of parking at Kauffman Stadium because, like I said, it shares a parking lot with Arrowhead Stadium. And it's off of the city, so...
I'm just looking at the facial expressions of Chris.
Herb talking about traffic and parking is the most on-brand Herb thing I think
ever. These things matter.
What is on-brand about it?
These things matter.
Just the way his takes of things and just the way that Herb is, his essence.
He's saying I'm pedantic, which I am.
It's just getting mad about traffic and parking.
I do worry about dumb things, but they matter to me when I go to a ballpark.
Not getting mad about it. Everybody gets mad about parking and traffic. Wanting traffic.
That's what I mean. Getting mad about not having traffic. Like, I just feel like if it was like a guess a quote and somebody's like, guess that, I would honestly be like, yeah, that's Herb Lawrence. Like, that's her.
It's weird. So, yeah, it's Herb. Bunch of texts rolling in. How about Miller Field? He put him number Miller Park. I don't know why.
Yeah. A lot of people don't like Miller Park.
Why?
I don't know.
It's
like,
great.
When I put that there, that's probably my most controversial number is Miller Park. People do not like Miller Park.
I have a shorter list, but I put them number 2.
Yeah, I like it up there. The atmosphere is great. Even though most of the times I've gone up there, the roof has been closed. When the roof's open, I think it's probably one of the best. It's just the atmosphere is good. The brats are good. The parking lot is ample. The tailgating's good. I just like the whole atmosphere they have up there at Miller Park, and it's 90 minutes away from here. That's not bad.
Some texters checking in about Petco Park. You've been there. A lot of people say Chase Field is great. I didn't even have them on the radar.
Never been.
So in Arizona.
But I got to go, and I've driven past that place. Just the whole Arizona thing doesn't thrill me, but it doesn't look great out there.
I've been. It's way too big.
How many have you been to, Chris?
I've been to about seven, the same as you, about seven.
Okay.
So
too big?
It's like, I feel like walk? Too many seats. Like, it's just too many. It feels very empty when you go to a game. And it, like, they can sit, I think, like 50 almost 50. And just for it being in a dome, it feels very empty when you sit in
and
there.
Some of these can change. Like, Bush, I went before they had the ballpark experience they have in left and right field now.
Now, you've upgraded Wrigley, right?
Oh, yeah. Wrigley used to be at the bottom.
Okay.
Because just trash, the trough thing, the food systems and the beer wasn't great. That one scoreboard in center field, now that they have the two other scoreboards, it's much better. You can see action a little bit better. It modernized the place. It's nice. And the history that goes along with it. I remember the people getting mad. Well, if we put the scoreboards up, the history will go away. It's like, no, this ballpark is much better than it used to be.
One texter checks in, says he's been to all of them. His favorite are Kansas City, San Francisco, and Pittsburgh. San Francisco is one I always hear about. And yeah, that's one.
That
when
is
you
probably,
see it on TV, you got
to
go.
That is probably the one that people tell me you have to go to. That's the next one you go to. I wasn't impressed by the city of San Francisco.
You didn't have Fenway on here, though.
I've never gone.
Do you plan on it?
I have to because Tanny and Brendan have gone by themselves.
They loved it.
And so that's why I went to Safeco last year, because Tanny had already gone. And I got to go to Baltimore by myself, too, because they've gone.
That the deal?
The year I was gone.
What about Adam Harris?
In San Diego, they went to Baltimore. Who kicked him out? It was either Shep or Brendan kicked Adam Harris out of the trip to Detroit.
Which is, if you got kicked out of the trip to Detroit, you're a winner in the end.
Yeah, you were lucky. There's a lot of dumb arguments going on there.
312-644-6767. People also say the A's and the Blue Jays stadiums are the worst. 312-644-6767. Joe Ostrowski with you. Julie DeCaro will stop by in 15 minutes for Transition on the Score.
I just stayed in my hotel room, man. Every time I look out my window, it's pretty depressing out here, man. It's bad. It's bad.
So you're not going out?
No. No going out in Cleveland, man. It's all factories.
Do you regret anything that you said about Cleveland?
Not at all. You like it? You think Cleveland's cool? I mean, I never heard anybody say, I'm going to Cleveland on vacation. What's so good about Cleveland?
Have you ever been booed as much in your life?
I was booed a lot. My whole life I've been booed. College, I was getting booed a lot. Boston, they don't like me over there. And they don't like me over here either. It's okay. I have my friends. I don't care.
Yeah, David Haw. You think Cleveland's cool? That's my favorite. Every time I hear it, it makes me laugh. 9 years ago today, Joakim Noah held that press conference. This hour on the Score brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards. And this segment on the Score brought to you by Anthony Buick GMC in Gurnee during their spring sales event. Save 10 grand on a new 19 GMC Acadia, over 6 grand on a new 19 Buick Encore. Anthony Buick GMC has over 400 vehicles for every budget. For details, visit anthonygurnee.com. Joe Ostrowski with you on a Friday evening, Sports Radio 670, The Score. White Sox winners over the Tigers tonight by a score of 7-3. Mark in Michigan City, what's going on?
Hey, guys, how you doing tonight? How you doing, Herb, my big fellow White Sox fan?
Doing well.
Hey, Eloy Jimenez.
Yes.
In the ninth inning, had a ball he should have caught.
Yeah, on the track,
And, you know, Herb, I think that trade's eventually going to be good. Dylan Cease is the wild card. But Eloy in the left field there, and I know the DH is in the American League down as his career goes along. But it kind of reminds me of George Bell and Jim Rice out in left field. Now, his first 10 years, if he can put up production numbers, say, in between George Bell and Jim Rice, that'd be great.
Bad Herb.
I mean, he should be better than both of those guys. I know Jim Rice is a Hall of Famer, but.
And you want to trade him?
No, no. Just for Mookie Betts.
Just for 2 years. Mookie Betts.
I'm good with that. Yeah, but he did look pretty bad in that pop fly.
Mookie Betts be the best player in White Sox history?
Frank was pretty good, but yeah, Mookie would, if he keeps on this track.
If you're not, yeah.
If he keeps on this track, yes, he'll be much better than Frank.
For 2 years.
I mean, Albert Bell had pretty good 2 years.
Yeah.
Offensively.
Yeah, yeah, right. And that's the difference. If you're talking about the whole game, if you're just talking about offensive numbers, no. But if you're talking about the whole game and war comes into play, what was Frank's highest war? Would you know offhand?
Not offhand. Probably like 5.
Really? Yeah, I would have thought a little bit higher. That would make sense. Herb wants to trade him. Aloy. Yes, I think you're going to win that trade. It's not a thing anymore.
Frank's highest war was 7. 91 yeah, okay. And 92. Nope, 7.3 in 97.
Now you're on Baseball Reference for this, right?
Yes.
Not Fangraphs. Okay. Wow. 7. What would he be making today? Frank.
What's it, $8 million per win?
I mean, just... He gave you next to nothing on defense. So that's all with the stick. That's how dominant he was. Yeah, no. No, even if you're just talking about 2 years, Frank's still the best player that we've seen. 312-644-6767. It's not even close. I'm sorry. 2 starts from Jose Quintana doesn't mean I'm going to reevaluate that trade at all right now. He's been a huge disappointment for the Cubs. He's a back-of-the-rotation guy. What they thought they were getting was a solid 2 on a team that would be contending for the World Series on a team-friendly contract. And part of what they gave those prospects, not just because of Quintana, because of that contract, too. It's been a huge disappointment so far.
And for the record, Albert Bell's best year with the White Sox, 7.1.
Wow.
The other year, he was only 1.5.
What the hell?
That was literally his best year.
Did he play the entire season for the 1.5?
Yeah, 163 games. 161 the first game, first year, and 163 the next. That was his best year, period.
What's going on tonight?
1998.
Listen, I know it's a holiday weekend. We got people checking in that Aloy's a bust, like dead serious, talking about his defense, that he can't make the routine plays.
Yeah, see, I'm not in that
group. Just got into the league, and he's not out there for the defense.
Eloy's going to be a stud.
This is his first time through the league, seeing all these pitchers for the first time, and look what he's doing. I don't know why people want to poke holes in his game. So in the first couple weeks, well, where's the power? And he starts showing some power, and he's like, well, he's not good. Look at the defense. Defense is horrible. You're worried about his defense? Is that the issue? Come on.
It's because they want instant gratification. That's it. It's they see this guy got a
contract.
But
you're getting it.
They see you get a contract, so they want complete instant gratification. I want him to be the perfect player. We just paid him a contract. He needs to be a perfect player right off the bat.
Yeah, they didn't pay him anything.
But that's White Sox mentality. That's what I'm saying.
Ridiculous. If he's this good now, what do you think he's going to be in 2 years? He's going to be a beast.
And you're paying next, or the White Sox are paying next to nothing for him.
Yeah, and he's not going to be the only guy in the lineup. It looks like you're probably going to hit on Moncada. And maybe you hit on Tim Anderson too. He's still got guys coming up. What's the problem here?
I'm going to hit on Ryan Cordell, too.
About Adam Engel?
Nah, we're good.
Ricky, they like him.
I don't know why.
What is the deal between you and Shane, whatever his title is, on the Engel thing?
He just is an Engel fan because
How is it possible to be an Engel fan?
Because Shane is dumb? I don't know. Like, he must be his, like, relative or something like that. Probably a good guy, but he's a terrible baseball player as far as hitting.
Right. Yeah, he's a good defender, but this day and age, do you really want that? Just the elite defender with no stick? You've got to have something. Got to provide something offensively. It's hard to have that. 312-644-6767 if you want to check in. Julie DeCaro will drop by next. Her show is coming up at 10 o'clock. I'm Joe Ostrowski on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
What's up, what's up?
Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Nothing beats playoff hockey in Chicago. Catch your Central Division champion Chicago Wolves as they battle Grand Rapids in the second game of the first round tomorrow at Allstate Arena. For playoff information, visit ChicagoWolves.com. Also brought to you by Chicagoland Papa John's. Chicagoland Papa John's is offering free pizza this weekend. Buy one pizza at regular price and get a second pizza of equal or lesser value for free. Use promo code FREEPIZZADAY on the Papa John's app or online at PapaJohns.com. That's promo code FREEPIZZADAY. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670. The Score, now in the studio. Julie DeCaro, she'll be with you from 10 o'clock up until midnight. Good evening, Julie.
Good evening.
What's number one today? What's the number one story? Is it Cubs or is it the Tim Anderson
suspension? I feel
suspension?
Like it's still Tim Anderson. Like I keep
with.
Seeing so many think pieces coming out now about it. James Fegan had a great one at The Athletic. There's a good one in the New York Daily News. It's just a mind-bogglingly bad decision by Major League Baseball, I think.
You think so?
Yes.
Okay. Why? So here's – I find it fascinating. So they decide now, I guess now, or did they decide this in the past, to make this decision, to take this stance that you cannot use the N-word. Nobody. We don't care who you are. Nobody's allowed to use the N-word. A couple years ago, there were anti-gay slurs used. Those guys suspended for a couple games. The World Series, Yuli Gurriel, for the gesture at Yu Darvish. That was five games. The next season, which was so weak after the World Series. The NBA, they've used fines for anti-gay slurs. Kobe was a $100,000 fine.
I don't remember.
Joakim Noah was $50,000. The NFL, they do 15-yard penalties if they hear that word. Why do you think baseball's wrong by saying across the board this word cannot be used?
Because there is – the African Americans are such a minority in baseball right now. I mean, Tim Anderson is literally the only African-American guy on the White Sox.
Yeah.
I mean, the Cubs have Jason Hayward and Jason Hayward.
C.J. Edwards in the minors.
C.J. Edwards, yeah. So it's such a minority. And I think that ignoring the fact that that word has been adopted by African-Americans to mean something different than what it means when a white person says it. Mm-hmm. I just think it ignores the whole history of the baggage that comes with that word and the context in which it's said. And I mean, Tim Anderson didn't do anything except stand there and get plunked. And, you know, and you've heard plenty of people say already today how the things that are said that people don't get punished for out there all the time. You know, and they don't want to give examples, I guess. But
you can't tell me that was the first time that word's been used.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so because it got caught on camera, and it still goes back to the whole issue with me that hurting someone's feelings is being equated with physically trying to injure someone. And, you know, you can say, I hit him in the butt. I hit him in the back. I wasn't trying to hurt him. But balls get away all the time when guys are aiming for the strike zone.
No, that's exactly the message they sent. Because Tim Anderson's sitting one game and five games for Keller. He's missing one start. He's missing one game. And you could make the argument he's really not even missing one game. He's just pushed back a couple of days because he pitched recently.
Right.
So when people have been telling me over the last couple of days, well, Major League Baseball wants the celebrations. They like the bat flips. Look at the campaign. Let the kids play. Look what's going on with the Twitter account. I'm not buying any of that because that's not coming from the commissioner's office. The commissioner won't speak on any of this and clarify anything. Which bothers me to no end, but there's no evidence of this. I think baseball likes this when bench is clear, because otherwise they would say anybody that leaves their bench, you get suspended automatically, like they do in the NBA. So what happens? Nobody leaves the benches.
Well, I don't want them. I mean, I love baseball fights, so I don't want that to happen. Baseball fights, it's just pushing and pulling.
Once in a while. When's the last time we saw a fight?
Right. I mean, Nolan Ryan and Robin Ventura. Yeah. I mean, there's never anybody even throwing punches. So I enjoy the pushing and pulling and the hold me back in baseball fights.
Right.
I completely agree. And it's, you know, hearing so many older baseball players speak on it today and the equating.
Aubrey Huff.
There's that. There's even older baseball players talking about it. And the idea that, just the justification for throwing a baseball as hard as you can at somebody is really kind of mind-boggling.
I've said it for years, and people think I'm joking around. I'm not. Because that is such a weapon, a dangerous weapon, one of these days, when a player gets plunked, I want to see a batter throw the bat at the pitcher.
Well, I mean, Mike Piazza did it, right?
Yeah. And it's
Roger
going
Clemens
to happen.
Threw it back at him.
It's going to happen. So when's it going to stop? It's a joke.
And I was sort of hoping that the group of guys that are in favor of this kind of thing would sort of age out. But now you've got Brad Keller, who's 23 years old.
And he's on a team with a manager and coaches that have clearly sent the message.
Yes.
I don't even know if he really wanted to do it. But we've seen times in the before when if you don't do that, then you're going to get sent down to the minors. And like you mentioned, 23 years old, so then I would understand why he would go and do that. We were talking about it earlier tonight, and Herb brought up the point, the way Major League Baseball worded this, saying it was racially charged. Him using that word at Keller is not racially
charged.
That's
what I mean. It takes the context out of the entire situation.
Right.
I mean, I just think that, you know, Major League Baseball has not done a great job of getting more African-American kids into the game, of making the game appealing to African-American kids. There's a whole issue there with that. And this just feels like just another sort of tone deaf move where they just really don't understand. And part of it, I think, is the lack of diversity at Major League Baseball. You know, I mean, there's a few people of color here or there. There's a few women. But by and large, it's still old white guys that are running the show.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I agree with that. My question is, so with the Tim Anderson, and these are very different things, but with Tim Anderson, one of the arguments has been with the bat flipping, times have changed.
I'm sorry, I'm looking at the text line.
I know. I just saw white in your eyes. You rolled them so fast. with Tim Anderson, times have changed so much. And I was asking earlier, because, you know, I don't know. Have times changed? Is that word still acceptable? And, I don't mean to use Herb as a constant example, but he was on the air talking about it. He never uses the word, but... And he doesn't like it when people do, but they have the right to do it. I get it. With Major League Baseball, run by old white guys, I don't think they should be telling African Americans which words they should be using. That's the part that's a really bad look. But they're kind of following these other sports by banning it. I mean, that's what they're doing. They don't want anybody using it.
I get it.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, there's a great piece of the New York Daily News. I can't remember the name of the guy who wrote it, but he's basically saying, you know, they're honoring Jackie Robinson by doing the exact same thing to Tim Anderson they did to Jackie Robinson, which is you're not allowed to fight back. You're not allowed to say anything that we deem, you know, that you're not allowed to say. And he said it much more eloquently than I'm saying it. But he was sort of like, this is sort of the tradition of Major League Baseball is telling African-Americans to shut up.
I'd love to know, when was this decision made? So... Did it happen on the fly over the last couple of days? Because what took so long for this to happen?
Well, there have been plenty of people who have said that is far from the first time that word has been used.
Of course.
On the diamond. So, like any time, and recently even.
Was this said in the offseason? Is that why he was ejected by Joe West? Because he used that word? Because Joe West would not comment to the pool reporter about the actual reason.
My feeling is that Joe West threw him out and baseball then had to go find a reason for it. That's sort of what I was thinking.
That's my biggest concern.
Yeah.
Are they doing this on the fly? Or are they making up the rules as they go along? That would not surprise me under Rob Manfred at all. Because it seems like he doesn't know what he's doing.
For all the guys on the text line that are like, how come a black guy can say it and I can't say it? Why is it so important for you to say that word? Why do you want to say it at all?
It's the same argument for how many years?
I don't understand what the purpose is of a white person wanting to say that word other than the obvious. Why is it so important to you?
Yeah. I don't understand that at all. I don't. I'm sure you'll cover this. What do you have going on tonight?
Not this.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
Well, I was talking about Tim Anderson, but I mean, I don't want 2 hours of a text line just screaming at me that I'm a moron.
No, half the time I close.
Which
it.
I've seen, yeah. We're going to talk about the Cubs today, talk about Kyle Hendricks' great start.
Starting pitching.
And the Cubs are back to .500.
I know.
We were all out on the ledge a week and a half ago. I thought that was pretty interesting today. Some interesting stuff about Jason Hayward over at Fangraphs that we'll talk about. And then a debate about one of baseball's most beloved baseball movies.
Ooh. Yeah, the tease you won't say.
Mm.
With Hayward, did they – I want to listen to it, but did they credit the new hitting coach at all?
He's – I believe he's quoted in the article.
Anthony Iaposi.
Yes,
yeah.
But he talks about – the article talks about what Jason Hayward is doing differently and why this might actually be a change and not just – him getting super hot. Now, it's probably not sustainable at the rate it's at.
Of course not.
But there's some indications that he's actually made some changes that are having effect.
I agree. Some people saying that, hey, this okay, he's finally having a month with some power with the Cubs. We haven't seen this before. But one of my arguments has also been, this is a guy that has a 27-homer season under mm-hmm. his belt when he was much younger yep. in Atlanta. And we know he certainly has the strength. Took off his shirt in front of Joe Maddon to let him know. When he was upset about what was going on in the World Series. You also have a remote tomorrow at Pop's Pizza and Sports Bar in Roselle. What time will you guys be there?
We're going to be there after the Cubs game. So 4:30-ish until 8 is what we're set for.
Get to talk about Darvish against Greinke. That's going to be fun.
Gonna be
it's better than being on Sunday after Chatwood. Tell you that
Well,
much.
No, because if Chatwood, you know, what's the phrase I want to use, I can't use.
When
if Chatwood falls
walks,
apart, yes, then you're going to have people wanting to talk about Chatwood. When there's a good start, it's like crickets.
Darvish could have a bad
that's true.
Start
that's
tomorrow.
True.
That is still in
no,
play.
No, because Joe will go out and get him. If he throws, like, you know, gets out two guys, all right, that's it.
You're out.
Leave on
you're
high
out.
Note. You're coming out.
Keep it right here on 670 The Score. Julia DeCaro will be hanging for the next 2 hours. Thank you, Herb Lawrence and Chris Dickens. I'll be on the air tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m. for early odds. Check it out. Follow me on Twitter. If you miss the show, I tweet out all links to all the podcasts there at Joe0670. Enjoy your holiday weekend. Good night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.